Thank you, choir. And if you'll take out your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. If you did not bring a Bible, there's one right there in the pew rack in front of you, that red Bible. And if you don't have one at home, feel free to take that one home with you. And we think that it's important that everybody have access to the Word of God and be able to read it for themselves. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at that in just a moment. You ever feel like you're going crazy? Anybody? Just me? Oh, okay, great. You just think you're going crazy. In fact, sometimes I look at what's going on in the world and I think, am I the only one am I crazy? Am I the only one that doesn't make sense? Or that it shouldn't ought to go that way? I thought about a couple of years ago when the lady, remember that spilled coffee on herself from McDonald's? You know? And she sued and won millions of dollars or whatever. And I'm thinking, aren't we supposed to know coffee's hot? Am I the only one that knows coffee is hot? Of course, now they have iced coffee and stuff. And now I get the cup at McDonald's and it has the coffee. And it says somewhere on it, close to the bottom, I think, that it's hot. But as I'm turning it to read what it says, I pour it all over myself. And they say, well, we told you. But I think, is that crazy? I had an opportunity a week ago to go through the airport, and I'm taking off my shoes with hundreds of millions of other people, and I'm thinking, is this crazy? We all have to take off our shoes because one guy somewhere had something in his shoe, and billions of people have to now take off their shoes. Well, I know there's a reason for all that, but sometimes I think I'm going crazy with the things that are going around. And so, when I think about that, I think about how crazy and chaotic the world is. And I think about how we feel like we're going crazy. And I think about God's Word. And God's Word promises us that we can, if we follow the Lord, we can be sane in a crazy world. And that's what my goal is. I would like to go sane in a crazy world. We're not crazy at times, especially when we talk about the things of the Lord. When we talk about things like that. The wisdom of God is really different than the world's wisdom, isn't it? Today, as we start this series on Proverbs, we're going to talk about God's wisdom. And Proverbs is filled with wisdom. And today's wisdom, we can find it from anywhere from a greeting card to a fortune cookie, right? We can break it open and we can pull out and you're going to have a good day. Yeah! Or maybe you pull it out and it says, there's going to be some challenges. Ugh! You want to trade? You know, we try to trade that. But we find wisdom in all kinds of places, at least what we think is wisdom. Because today's wisdom is a little bit different than the wisdom of God. In fact, the wisdom of God goes against the grain. You have right there in your blue sheets, and you can take those out if you want to kind of track along with me and where we're going. But right there is a verse from Isaiah chapter 55. And in Isaiah chapter 55, God makes it clear. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, thus declares the Lord. God made it clear from the very beginning that the way He does things is not the way that we naturally do things. And so if we are going to find wisdom, we're going to have to find out that we're going against the grain of what we find in the daily living of this world if we want to use godly wisdom. Because there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. When we talk about wisdom, sometimes we'll say, that guy's really wise or that woman is really wise, and we're referring to their intelligence. And the Bible is very clear, and even in literature, it's clear that wisdom is not just knowledge. It has to do with knowledge, but then what you do with that knowledge. How you handle the knowledge that you have defines wisdom. And in the book of Proverbs, we have a lesson for us. We have a lesson of words of wisdom. Wisdom that not only gives us truth, but also helps us to know how to practically live it in our lives. My goal in this series, and what I'm really excited about, is, and maybe you've done a study in Proverbs, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you are like some of those who read the chapter of Proverbs every day of the month because there's 31 chapters, and so folks have said, I'm going to read a chapter of Proverbs a month, and that's always good because God's wisdom is always good to put in our brains. But how do we apply it to our lives? And we're going to get practical in this study. What we want to do is find that straight line to walk. We want to find that line that we can hold on to in this crazy world. Practical things. And I believe that if we can study this, that we will find that we are going to find practical application in this next few weeks on time management, on decision making, on setting priorities in your life, on relationships and how they should work, on your work and your career, on your goals and your dreams, on your education. Wouldn't we like to see how the knowledge of God that we experience on a Sunday morning is applicable to our daily living every day in life? That is wisdom. We are going to delve into that as we look into the Proverbs and actually take the truths of God that He gives us here and make Him practical for our living. So as we start, before we begin, let's talk about some background on the Proverbs. The background you need to know, anybody remember who wrote Proverbs? Or most of them? Solomon. Solomon, he's the son of David, you remember? He became king after David, and as he rose to be the king of Israel there after David had died, he went to the Lord, and the Lord kind of gave him an option. He said, hey, whatever you want, I'll give you. Kind of like the genie, you know, hey, I've got it, you can have it, whatever you want, whatever you wish, you can have. Well, Solomon thought about it for a minute, but instead of wishing for riches or wishing for three more wishes or other things like that, he said, God, I know a lot, but I am so young, I don't know how to apply all these things. I need wisdom to lead these people. And that's all I want. Just give me wisdom. God was very pleased with that, did give Solomon wisdom, and gave him riches and the other stuff as well. But he did that as a reward, and so Solomon was gifted by God with a wisdom that's beyond things that we would know today. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 4, I would like to just read a few verses as a background, and you can just jot that down and look at it later. 1 Kings chapter 4, God says this in His Word here. It says in verse 29 of chapter 4, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than all the wisdom of all the men of the east and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. And it gives a few wise men that his wisdom was greater than the wise men of the day. And then in verse 32, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also taught about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. Solomon had what it takes to write these proverbs. So they're worth studying, aren't they? That we go and we take what God has given to Solomon, that he has written down for us, and say, how does this apply to our lives? So as we get ready to do that, we want to know that these are words to live by. Now some of these proverbs that we're going to come to during our study, some of them are obvious. Some proverbs just state obvious truths. You read it and you go, that's right. You know, things like in Proverbs 17:22, where it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. You know? Yeah. We know that, don't we? Or another verse like in Proverbs 19:13, where it says, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. You know, it just makes sense, doesn't it? No, that's... And some of them, they're debatable, right? Some of them state obvious truths. Some of them give a positive thing and a negative thing. Some of them might say, a righteous man behaves like this, but a foolish man behaves like this. This kind of behavior leads to this reward. This kind of behavior leads to this result. And it's cause and effect. There are many types of proverbs, and we're going to look at a lot of different kinds. There are also things we won't look at. I remember reading the news story back. It was... obviously a few years back when the Katrina happened, and a lot of the refugees from New Orleans went to Houston. And I was actually talking to one of the pastors there who was ministering to those that were in the Houston area that were in a lot of the shelters there and everything. And he said he met a lot of movie stars and stuff that came in and tried to comfort the people. And one of them was a well-known comedian, and he stood up and he said, you know, and just remember, folks, what the Bible tells us, God helps those who... And that's what the entire stadium said. Of course, the Bible doesn't say that, okay? So that's not a biblical saying. But there are a lot of proverbs out there that are not biblical sayings. You know, a penny saved is a... Okay, that's, yeah, not in the Bible as well. But we are, not that those aren't wise, you know, but we are going to study the wisdom of God. And that's different. It's different than just studying any kind of wisdom. It is the godly wisdom that will make us go sane in a crazy world. Okay? So having said all that, let's look at this very first chapter of Proverbs, the first few verses, because in this introduction, he tells us why it's important to study the Proverbs. Okay? So follow along as we read in chapter 1 there, starting with verse 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Therefore, attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, could it be even today that we would be inspired to go deeper into this ancient book? A book written thousands of years ago and yet filled with truths that are as fresh as the morning's paper. Father, we pray that today you would not only inspire us, but that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for your wisdom, for your ways, that in this crazy, chaotic world around us, we might give testimony to you, our anchor. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll take out your notes, I want to tell you that there's four things that are basically given here as a reason to study the Proverbs and why we should study them. And I want to start out by the obvious one, the number one being the first way is attaining wisdom. One of the things, ways that you attain wisdom is to go to the Proverbs, the wise sayings, and read them and take them in. Okay? For attaining wisdom. It's in James chapter 3. And you can jot that down and look at it later. But in James chapter 3, this is how James describes wisdom. And he describes it by telling us there's a godly wisdom and there's a worldly wisdom. Now that's true, isn't it? The worldly wisdom is different than God's. Okay? There's a difference between what God says and maybe what Dr. Phil says. There's a difference between what God says and what some of popular self-help books might say. But what is the difference? Listen to what James says in James chapter 3 as he talks about two kinds of wisdom. Beginning in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. And then he goes on, verse 17, which is printed there in your notes for you. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. As we look at that, we find that there's basically certain differences that you need to recognize when you hear words of wisdom or as we study them. The first is that wisdom from the world, did you see, concentrates on self. He says where there's selfish ambition, where people are focused on themselves, whatever the wisdom is that they're giving is not wisdom from God. It is not heavenly wisdom. And isn't that the truth? Our wisdom of the world today says, watch out for yourself. You got to take care of yourself. You have your rights. Stand up for who you are. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. All focused on self. It's all self-centered, all focused on who you are and what you can do for yourself. Friends, that is worldly wisdom, not godly wisdom. Not only do you see that, but you also see that not only does it concentrate on the self, but it's contrary to the truth. He says this kind of stuff, it's denying the truth. If you hear wisdom that is contrary to the Word of God, contrary to what God has revealed to you, it is not godly wisdom. And there is a lot of that out there. The Bible is antiquated. It's no longer applicable or relevant to today. And so some of those principles just don't apply. That's wisdom of today. I say to you, no, if it's contrary to the truth, to the Word of God, then it is contrary to godly wisdom. This is earthly wisdom, worldly wisdom. It goes to what feels good, not at what really is good. So, what else? It concentrates on self, it's contrary to the truth, and it's confusing. What he said there in James, he said that you'll find, where you find this kind of wisdom, you'll find disorder and every evil practice. God is an orderly God, and his wisdom brings order to anything around it. Worldly wisdom is confusing. I mean, how often have you heard that? You've heard that somebody gives you a piece of advice, and you think, really? That doesn't make any sense. That's not consistent with what I've heard. How could that be? It's confusing. You can read books that can tell you all kinds of way to do parenting, all kinds of way to handle your money, and they can be from A to Z, from one end to the other. But God's Word has one way, and it's not confusing. It's clear. So, godly wisdom, what does it look like? Well, we could make the list, but I have the verse there for you. And that is, it's pure, it's submissive, it's full of mercy, it's considerate, it's loving. Does this sound like the same thing? It doesn't concentrate on self, it concentrates on others and how we love others and our relationships. It focuses on the truth of God, and it's not confusing, it's very clear. These are opposite ends of the extreme. So, how do we get that wisdom? Is that we read the Proverbs. We've got to study it. We've got to look at God's Word. That's one reason. What's the second reason? It's right there in Proverbs chapter 1. I hope you didn't lose your place. You want to be there. Make sure I'm not making this stuff up. Understanding words of insight. For understanding words of insight. Not only for attaining wisdom itself, but understanding words of insight. We can read words and we can... But what studying the Proverbs does is it opens our minds to hear the Word, but it also opens our eyes to gain insight into the Word. You know, there's a difference between knowing something and then knowing what to do with what you know. That is wisdom. The definition of wisdom isn't knowledge. It's doing the right thing with that knowledge. Anybody remember there was a movie came out a while back, a long time ago probably. I don't remember timelines like that, but it's called Jurassic Park. Anybody remember it? There's a movie about some scientists that were just advancing in their field, and what they did is they discovered that through some fossilized things, they could bring back DNA from dinosaurs, and they found out that through whatever, in a petri dish or something, they could create dinosaurs again today. Now, you know, wow, they could do that. And at the beginning of the movie, as these scientists were showing their things to some other scientists, one of the scientists spoke up and he said, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. There's one thing to have the knowledge. It's another thing what you do with that knowledge. And of course, the rest of the movie is showing why you shouldn't have dinosaurs. Okay? And the whole point was, that's not wise. Being really smart isn't being really wise. You can have some very foolish, smart people. What do you do with it? And studying the Proverbs, I believe, over the next few weeks is going to help us not only know the truth and see the truth, but gain insight into the truth. And that's moving the truth from here to here so that we can live it out in our lives. Like I said, this is going to be very practical as we do this. Now, the third thing about it, it says not only for understanding words of insight, but for acquiring discipline. Acquiring discipline. Correction or reform, it's implying the behavior. It's how you live. What we're going to learn here on our Sunday mornings as we look at the Proverbs is not only just going to help us get smarter, not only going to help us know God better, but it's going to help us live better. We're going to live out God's ways. It involves obeying what we learn. Obeying takes courage, and that's what discipline is. It's a courageous obedience that will go against the grain. If you live by the principles of Scripture, you're going to run up against some things that you don't like. And that is the truth when it comes to wisdom, godly wisdom. If you're willing to take this journey with me, there's going to be parts of it that are going to make us uncomfortable. There's also going to be things that are going to go against, not going to be popular amongst your friends. Not going to be popular with your boss or the people that are around you, because you're going to want to live the life that God has set before you, and it's not always, as we read earlier, our ways. It takes courage, and it also takes consistency. A disciplined life is one that continues to live for God over and over and over again. It's one that gets up every morning and says, I'm going to live by the principles that I've learned. I'm going to continue to follow God and do what you want me to do, Lord, this day as I did yesterday and as I want to do tomorrow. Through thick and thin, through the chaos of this world, I want to live as a sane person in a crazy world. It also involves, it says here in the Proverbs, not only doing what's right and just and fair, but for giving prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. It's our responsibility to learn the Proverbs and to study the Proverbs so that we can share it with others. So that we can be sharing it with others, giving instruction to these young people, giving instruction to each other, giving insight as well. Not only teaching them about what the things that God says, but teaching them how they can live it. I believe that the purpose of the church is more than just giving information about God. It's helping and standing arm in arm together, helping us learn how to live out those truths in a world around us that's going crazy. And that's hard to do. The church too often is guilty of giving information to people, sending them out into this crazy world. And amongst the wolves of this world that just with the conflicting information and the wisdom of the world coming at them, they have no way to distinguish or really realize how they're supposed to live. We need to be able to share with each other. That's why we need the Proverbs. That's why we need to study this. So there you have it. We study it all these things. We share it with others. We gain a disciplined life. We understand these words. We gain this wisdom. So what's the challenge? What's the challenge? If you look in the next few verses, it says so. Verse 5, let the wise listen and add to their learning. So the first step in the challenge is to listen and learn. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment here this morning. If you're going to come, if we're going to be a part of this study together, as we open up these words of wisdom, are you willing to listen? And are you willing to learn? We are going to talk about some of the greatest pearls of wisdom that God ever gave to His creation. We're going to see some of the things, some of the guidance that God gives us to practically be able to set priorities in our life, to be able to make decisions when it comes to how we live out our lives on a daily basis. Are you willing to listen? And are you willing to learn? And it takes a special person to be able to be taught, doesn't it? In fact, that's my second point. It says that we need to seek out guidance. You know, get ready. Go back to school. We got to go back to school, friends. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. There's more for us to learn. And it just doesn't come natural. We need others to teach us. We need God's Word. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to talk to each other about it. But we have a hard time with that, don't we? We have a hard time with submitting, being taught. In fact, a teachable spirit is very hard to find. It's hard to find, and you go to any high school today, and how many of those kids are sitting on the edge of their seat just thirsting to learn? You don't see that too often. But you know what? That's true with adults as well, isn't it? We have a hard time submitting ourselves to discipline and authority and teaching. So we need to listen and learn, and then we need to go back to school. So where do we start? There's a phrase that's mentioned in Proverbs. It's mentioned right here in verse 7. It's mentioned throughout the Proverbs. And one of the ways that the Hebrews would teach each other would be through repetition. And throughout the Proverbs, throughout the book, you're going to find these phrases throughout the book. Because these are the most important thing. These are the keys that unlock the wisdom that we're going to need as we study this book. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord. Now, have you had a hard time with that? A lot of times we do. The fear of the Lord, what does that mean? Be afraid of God? That's what a lot of people think when they read it. They think, well, are we supposed to be afraid? That God is a God up there and he's like the boy who's looking at the ants on the sidewalk and just ready to squash one with his big magnifying glass saying, oh, I think I could fry that one. And we're afraid that the Almighty God, if we step out of line, if we do something wrong, he's going to smash us. That's what we need to be afraid of. We need to be afraid of a wrathful God. But I think that we know that that is not what this means. That this isn't talking about being afraid of God. It's talking about a deep reverence and respect for God. From the people of God, that we know God and we know who he is and we know who we are. And when we identify who we are and who he is, we realize how great and majestic and wonderful and holy he is and how we are so far from that. And the fear of the Lord is not a fear of him hurting us. It's a fear of us hurting him, of disappointing him, of not living up to the standards of Lord, we're so unholy, we're so unworthy. How could we be in your presence? And God restores us and redeems us and reconciles us to himself. The fear of the Lord is great respect and reverence. It's the Bible describes it, the word is as kneeling down before an almighty God. It's submitting before him. It's saying, God, you are God and I am not. That's the fear of the Lord. It's a relationship. What Solomon is saying here and what is said throughout the Proverbs is wisdom doesn't start in your head, it starts in your heart. It doesn't start up here, it starts right here, and it starts with the relationship and how you feel about God and how you see God. Do you fear God? Do you fear him? Do you reverence God? Do you recognize who he is and who you are? Because all this wisdom is going to do you nothing but give you something to write in a greeting card or put on a plaque in your kitchen if you don't know God. Won't do you any good. It'll just be knowledge and not wisdom. Fear the Lord is the beginning of it all. He couples that with another phrase that you'll read quite frequently. A fool despises wisdom and discipline. A fool despises it. We need to love to learn, don't we? God wants us to love to learn. He wants us to seek out wisdom. He wants us to seek out his ways. He wants us to be on our knees every morning saying, "Dear God, as we approach this day, I want to live for you. I want to live for you in everything that I do. I want to submit to you." Now again, we have a problem with authority, don't we? We have a problem with that. We have a problem submitting. I mentioned I went through the airport and had to take off my shoes. Well, I might as well tell you about this because you'll probably see it on YouTube or something. But I was singled out and pulled aside as the random person who needed more security. Okay? Because, you know, look at me. I'm pretty dangerous looking. All right? So they pull me out of line. They say, "I'm sorry, sir, don't be afraid. But you have been identified as somebody who needs some extra security." So they pulled me off and they took me to another place to where there's this great big tube like you see on Star Trek or something. And I had to take off more stuff than my shoes. And I had to get into this big tube. And I said, "Are you kidding me?" And I started to get kind of mad because I got places to go, people to see. Come on. You know? "No, sir. Don't be afraid. We need you to go into the..." I said, "Come on." They said, "Don't do this with your hands." They said, "Do this." So there I stood. I was doing this, and I was standing in the tube, you know, and all these things start going around, you know, whatever, making weird noises, you know. And I was thinking, what are these people doing? Don't they know that I'm not a terrorist? Come on. You can look at me and say I don't have anything. Come on. And I was really upset. And they got me out, and I could get dressed and all that again, and everything was okay. But I thought to myself, as I was thinking about wisdom, you know, there's reasons that they're doing those things. And there's also, it reminded me how we don't like people pushing us around. We don't like it when we have to do things we don't want to do. Even if they're good things, or even if they're things for our own good or protection. You know, why do I have to take off my shoes? Why do I have to go in this big tube and be examined? Why? I got places to go, things to do. Could be that we would be saying the same thing. Over the next few weeks, as we study some of these Proverbs, I think we're going to find some incredible things that God has to share for us. What the psalmist would describe as more wonderful than gold, more sweeter than honey, beautiful truths that can transform our lives. But a lot of us, it'll be a little bit uncomfortable, and we might say, "Hey, come on, I got things to do. I got a way to leave my life. I got people to see. I already know where I'm going. I'm comfortable the way I'm living. I don't need to change." And God is saying, "I need you to have a spirit that will yield yourself to me and allow the wisdom to speak to your heart." So what are we doing today? Today is just kind of an introduction to something that we need to set our hearts right and get the right attitude before we delve in any deeper. As we go into the Proverbs, I want you to know that we're not just going to read some really cutesy Proverbs that just can be on a plaque on a wall. Some of them will be very familiar. But we are going to look for God's wisdom and truly study to find practical ways that we can apply these truths to our lives. But you got to be willing to listen and learn. You got to be willing and open to live by them. Because that's what wisdom is. We may not get a whole lot smarter, but we can get a whole lot wiser. When you learn God's truths and you apply them to your life, that is wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of closing the service, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would bless us. And Lord, I pray that we would let our guard down, and as we look at the wisdom of the Proverbs, that you would allow it to sink into our being, to be something that transforms how we live, as well as how we think. God, thank you. Thank you for giving it to us. And I pray that we would take it, apply it, and shine the light to the world around us. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And as we sing that hymn, let me just say this. Maybe you're in here today and you say, I have a lot of knowledge about God, but I'm not sure I've ever experienced that fear of the Lord in my heart. I'm not sure I've ever made it personal to me. Every time we meet together, we want people to have an opportunity to ask Christ into their heart, to become personal, in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you haven't ever done that, you can do that today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to jump through any hoops. There's nothing you can do that can make God love you more than He loves you right now. And He asks that you come. He woos you to Himself. He says, come to Me. Have a relationship with the Almighty Creator. You can do that today. I'm here. I'll pray with you. Our deacons are here. We'll pray. You can do it right where you sit. But the key is, if you don't know God today, you can know Him today, personally. Maybe you're saying, I know God already, but boy, I've been living by the worldly wisdom. My life is as chaotic as the people around me. I'm going crazy in a crazy world. And you say, I want to go sane in a crazy world. I want to get my heart right with God. I want to hold on. I want to walk the line. I need that practical wisdom from God. Then you can pray today, right where you sit, right where you stand. Lord, help me to get it right in my head. I want to open myself to You and what You have for me.